Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to a new episode of Where Sisters Meet. So this is episode number 2 and I'm so excited and grateful that you guys are here listening to me. Alhamdulillah for all of you. You guys have literally supported me since I started this podcast and it is the most, honestly, the most blessed thing ever. So yeah, we are on episode number 2 and I'm so happy about this. I'm going to be answering some questions in the beginning. So I did ask some of you guys on Instagram to ask me some questions about anything. I just told you all to like make it like deep, something that is meaningful. So I really want to answer those questions in the beginning of this episode, and then I've got a main topic which will be a 5-year reflection of my marriage, which is insane. I've been married for 5 years, which is absolutely crazy, but alhamdulillah I got married young, so it feels nice to know, you know, we're literally doing amazing. Which is good. And then in the end, maybe I might do a little reflection on, you know, the week that has just gone by or anything that I want to talk about in my life right now. So yeah, if you haven't listened to my other podcast or, sorry, my episode, I keep saying podcast, I'm really sorry about that. Also, if I stutter, just ignore me because it is very normal for me to stutter. I stutter all the time, especially when I am teaching a lesson. I stutter all the time. It's kind of normal for me now. But I do need to slow down when I speak because that's when I stutter. So we'll get straight into the questions. Oh, before I say that, every episode will be released on a Thursday around 4/5 p.m. basically. I will try my best to get it out weekly. If not, I will definitely post on Instagram or TikTok or whatever and let you guys know that I won't be releasing an episode. But I am really excited because I'm gonna soon be having some friends on this show, some people who mean a lot to me, so it'll be really, really nice to have chats with everyone and, you know, share some insight from every other person because everyone has gone through life in a different way and it's so interesting seeing everyone talk about that. And I can learn, I don't know about you guys, but I learn a lot from other people and their experiences and what they've been through. It really helps me think about my perspective in life and how to change it. So yeah, we'll get straight into it. So the questions I have today. So the first question, how has having a baby challenged your relationship and how have you overcome them? So I'm guessing this is about, so the husband and wife relationship, how has having a baby affected that and how have you basically overcome it? So alhamdulillah, me and my husband we have the best relationship, alhamdulillah. We have the best understanding and obviously it's been 5 years, which we will talk about later. But we were best friends and we still are in our marriage, obviously. And we just make sure we're always talking to each other. So obviously when you become parents, your priorities definitely shift a lot because you cannot, you know, just sit down and watch TV. You can't just go out and about. You can't just go for a walk. Or like me and my husband, we love going on, like, we used to love going at night on drives, like really long drives at night, and it used to be the best thing. And we used to talk in that time, but now we can't do that because we have Zoya. But we still go on drives on her, but it's obviously very different. So your whole, generally speaking, your whole life will change and your relationship, but it's up to you how you want that change to be. Do you want it to be a good change or a bad change? A lot of relationships suffer because they don't ask each other for help. So I remember when I was going through a rough phase with Zoya, so I was breastfeeding her and she was getting up every hour of the night and I was struggling a lot. I was really suffering for a couple of weeks and finally I was really struggling and I never woke my husband up and I always thought to myself, oh, he's got work, I shouldn't wake him up. But then I realized that I'm looking after her later, you know, the next day, and I can't be having zero sleep. So I spoke to my husband and I told him, look, like, we need to work this out. You get up 1 hour, I'll get up the other hour, we can split the night. So that's how we did it, honestly. Like every problem we faced with Zoya, if it was her sleep regressions, tantrums, an issue or whatever, we would talk to each other about it and see how the other person could help each other. So now I'll give you an example. I did give you one anyway, but I'll give you another example. So regardless if me or my husband work, we both do, but he obviously works full-time. I am studying, so I'm on placement, I study, and then I'm also working as well. So it's a bit hectic. So as you can imagine, the house we come back to is a state. Sometimes it's clean, sometimes it's very messy. But at the end of the day, if I was to make Zoya sleep and get her to bed, my husband would then do the dishes or clean downstairs, and we would split it like that. So if I was to do the dishes and, you know, clean downstairs and look after the house, then he would go upstairs and make Zoya sleep and make sure he doesn't call me, if that makes sense. So I think we've overcome all these challenges of having a baby by talking to each other. I think our whole marriage is based on talking anyway, so communication is so key. If I need help from my husband, as I spoke about before, when I was struggling with Zoya's sleep regressions and waking up every single hour of the night when she was like a couple months old, I told him, I said, you know, I'm really struggling and we need to work this out together. So alhamdulillah, we spoke about it and it was the best thing ever that happened to us, because, you know, once you speak about something, you finally know what the other person is going through. So yeah, I think communication is a big thing when you have a baby, because your relationship completely shifts, and it's a big change, and you can't just do the same stuff you did before. You can't just go out whenever you want to. You can't just, you know, get up and do whatever you want to. You can't just go get takeaway whenever you want. You know, you have a baby now, you have a child now, so you really have to think about that. So yeah, you just have to really, my one advice, if anyone is listening to this who is a parent who has just newly had a baby, I would really say the one thing is communication. Be like a team. So me and my husband, we always say we're both a team and we stick together. If the other person is struggling, the other one will just go and help that person without even asking. And that's how we work. Otherwise, if one person was to do everything, it just would not work out, basically. The other person would be so overstimulated, overwhelmed. That person would crash and it wouldn't be fair at all. Regardless if your husband is working full-time, he is still a dad at the end of that. So he needs to do the duties of a dad as well. If a father is just working, not looking after his child, not looking after the house, I mean, the mother is as well, but, you know, you need to both be looking after the child, otherwise there's no point, if that makes sense. But yeah, so we didn't have that many challenges because from the get-go we made sure each other like understood what we wanted out of this. So we made sure we had that conversation, or those awkward conversations, you know, you're not doing this, you should really do this. But once we actually told each other, you know, we need to work together as a team, that's when everything like worked out, alhamdulillah. So if you are struggling with anything parent wise or like if you have a child and you're struggling with your relationship, honestly, I would say maybe if you have someone to look after that child, a mum or anything, maybe drop the child off to your mum's house and go on a date alone, even if it's for 1 hour. We've done this a couple of months ago. My mum took Zoya and she's been pestering me for ages to go for an evening out, or like 1 hour or whatever, and go for dinner. So I finally did it and it was just the best thing ever. It really refreshes your relationship. And obviously, if you don't have that chance, you don't even have to go out the house. I mean, when your child is asleep or whatever, just put the TV on, just get some food in and just enjoy that moment, you know. Section out time in your day, even if it's the evening and you're tired, even if it's 30 minutes, just section out that time and just be with each other. That is the main thing, because when you have a child, you really don't get that time. You don't get enough time with the other person, and you really have to just look after that person. Yeah, regardless if you're a mother or father, remember that you have that relationship, and don't forget it as well, because, you know, if you don't have that relationship, that loving relationship, it won't work out. But inshallah, you all got this. Whoever's going through this tough time, you will get through this, inshallah. Just know that it's up to you whether you want to, you know, you want parenthood to make or break you. And if you need help, ask for it. Don't ever be afraid to ask for it. So yeah. Let's move on to the second question. If you were a teenager again, what would you do differently Islamically? I love this question. So if I was a teenager again, I'm just thinking how I was as a teenager. So as a teenager, I was not as practicing for sure. I did not dress modestly. I think I started with wearing the hijab, the headscarf, when I was in year 10. I was the first one out of my family to wear it, so it was a hard step to take. But alhamdulillah, do you know what, like, being a teenager, I was very different to now. Obviously, as a person, you grow and you change and you keep changing. But I would definitely look more into the religion. I think after high school, I kind of found my way anyway towards Islam and looking into it, reading Quran more, going out to lectures more and looking into the religion. But I think during high school and secondary school, I really should have, like, you know, done more effort towards the religion and reading Quran and, you know, actually looking into it. And why do we pray and why do we fast and all of that instead of just, like, wasting time? So any advice for anyone who's listening out there, if you have lost that connection with Islam or the religion, please try and go back. Even if you listen to a lecture or you listen to the Quran, even reading like one ayah a day, one page a day, one surah a day, like literally make that change, little steps, and it will fall into place. For me as well, I didn't overnight become practicing, you know. I made sure that I took tiny steps towards my goal, which was to be practicing, to be in love with the religion, you know, and to be consistent with it, to be consistently praying, which, by the way, I am not. Every day is a challenge sometimes. Being a mother is so difficult when you need to pray, and it's really difficult because sometimes my daughter doesn't actually let me pray. She jumps on me, but you have to get it done somehow, and you have to force yourself, otherwise you'll just slack and you will just, you know, fall out of love. I think every day you need to just push yourself towards the religion and towards praying, even, you know, even the fard, even if you don't pray your full prayer, at least pray the fard. When I get lazy, I make sure to pray the fard at least, because I know then I will just be slacking again and I won't pray. So it's better to pray the fard or like read one page of Quran or something that will help you go back into it. So yeah, if I was a teenager again, I would definitely like take more time to learn about the religion, to fall in love with it, to understand it, to understand why my parents would tell me, you know, you need to read the Quran, you need to love Islam, you need to cover up more. So yeah, I think that's a lovely question. The last question, I think this is a lot. Do you know what, they're all lovely questions, and it's really nice questions. What has being a mother taught you about Islam? I think this is probably my favorite question out of these three, only because I am so close with my mother. I feel like we are best friends, alhamdulillah. We have such a lovely relationship, and I whenever I need anything or whenever she needs anything, she always comes to me, and I always go to her. Alhamdulillah, she lives very close to me, so I'm always at her house, always with her. Always with her. So yeah, I think after I became a mother, I truly understood what it is to be a mother, what it is to love your child, what it is to make that sacrifice, and obviously the status of a mother in Islam is always so high, is greater than your father, as they say. But yeah, being a mother is the most selfless thing you could ever do, honestly. And it's made me realize how much my mum has sacrificed as well. They've done so much for us, but sometimes we don't realize it until it is later on in life when we go through a similar thing. Yeah, and that's why I have noticed now, you know, as I have my own child, I've noticed how much sacrifice and effort and time that you really have to put into, you know, growing that child. And mothers out there don't have help sometimes, and, you know, they have multiple children within such a short time frame, and yeah, it's just insane and it's crazy. Honestly, I can tell now why mothers have such a high rank and status in Islam, because they just go for a lot. They literally go for a lot, physically, mentally, and it's the sacrifice that they put in, you know, to grow that child, to make that family. So alhamdulillah for our mothers, and really appreciate your mother, because she has been through a lot. And you know, sometimes she might not say to you, but she might be going through something and she might hide it. And that's what mothers do. They never actually, you know, share their feelings with you, because they would never put you through that fear of, you know, or stress that your mother doesn't want you to go through. But look after your parents, and just remember that our parents are always there for us, and they have done so much for us. And the least that we could do is look after them in this day and age, and, you know, they're all getting older now as well. So yeah, we really need to just look after. Okay, so that was the questions being answered. I absolutely love those questions. I feel like it really makes me look into life from a different perspective, from so many different perspectives, and I appreciate that a lot. So I'll be doing more of these questions every single episode, just to help everyone get an insight into different areas that we'll be talking about. So the main topic of today is my 5-year reflection of my marriage. So I've been married for 5 years now. I think I got married in 2020. Yeah, I got married in 2020, and I was quite young then, and Alhamdulillah, we now have a child, and it's just been the best journey of my life, and I cannot say anything bad about it. Obviously, marriages, you know, couples go through ups and downs in life, and that's very normal. I think the first year of my marriage was a bit difficult because of personal reasons, but apart from that, everything was just amazing, Alhamdulillah. I think having that communication and that understanding and that loving relationship between us two has made the biggest difference. I also think growing up and being a bit more mature and, you know, having those awkward conversations with each other when we get angry, that is what matters. I think the one thing, if anyone was to ask me for marriage advice, even though I'm not like a marriage counselor, whatever you call it, I'm not one of those, but I will say, if anyone is going through a hardship in their relationship, or, you know, they might be getting married soon, I would just say one thing. It's that you should communicate with your husband or your wife, because communication is really, really key in any relationship that you have. Honestly, I think the best thing you could do in any sort of relationship, especially a marriage, is to communicate with each other. Whatever you're feeling, just communicate. So when I'm feeling upset with my husband, I find it a little bit difficult to talk. I might raise my voice a little bit, but I try not to, because we are not that type of couple where we shout at each other. And even if we do, we will step back and then just keep quiet for a bit, and then the other person will... So for example, let me just say a scenario. So if I was to get really upset, I would just like step back instead of getting really angry, because I know when I'm frustrated or upset, I can shout, but I don't like shouting at all. There's like hardly any times where I would shout, because I just don't like other people being shouted at. It's not something I like for anyone else or for myself. I don't like being shouted at, so I would never do it to anyone else. But if I was upset, I would walk away, and then my husband would just make me laugh and just say something stupid so that I just stop being angry or upset. And then obviously it takes us a couple of minutes to get used to each other again and be happy again. But that's the main thing. If he didn't come to me, or if I don't go to him and try and, you know, sort the situation out, it would never be better. So one advice, or, you know, one tip I would give to everyone, is just talk to each other daily. And if anything is going wrong in your lives, or if you need to talk about something and you don't like what the other person is doing, talk to each other. If my husband has left the dishes in the sink overnight or in the morning and he's not touching them and he's not doing them, I would tell him, you know, why aren't you doing the dishes? I do this, this and this, and at least do that for me, kind of thing, which he does anyway. He's amazing, Alhamdulillah. But like, it's just the fact that you need to speak to each other. If you do not speak to each other, no one will know what is going on. And that's, I think, where the problem starts, when you start bottling up your emotions and you don't realize that you've bottled it in so much that now you're going to explode. And it happens to all of us. Sometimes I explode, but it's not really about marriage, it's about like teaching. You know, I would just keep it in, and then explode and be like, oh, this is so overwhelming, you know. But as humans, we're going to go through tough times. But the only thing that will help us through this is for us to talk to each other and, you know, ask each other, are you okay? What's the matter? Did I upset you? I know it's an awkward conversation, and I find it awkward sometimes to hear that I have upset, you know, my husband, but you have to be humble in that way, where you want the better for each other. You want to better each other. You want to, you know, look after each other. At the end of the day, you are a couple, you are one, you are a team. So you're not against each other. When a fight is to happen, do not get angry. Do not raise your voice. That is when everything goes wrong. when you start raising your voice and getting, you know, angry and loud, that's where it all goes wrong, and we don't want that. So yeah, I think I've said this over and over again, but communication is the top thing out there. And then also making time for each other. Me and my husband, I know we've got a child now, but regardless, if I am tired, if I fall asleep on the sofa every night, I will make sure I will come down and sit with my husband and just watch, even if it's 10 minutes of an episode, and then I will fall asleep. It is fine. As long as I've sat with him, spoken to him about my day or his day, and we've had a little bit of a chat and we're watching TV. Because every night, without a doubt, I will fall asleep on that sofa because I'm shattered. But as long as it means I've spent some time with my husband, you know, that is the main thing. A lot of the times we forget that we're in a marriage and you need to spend time with each other. You need to, you need to ask the other person, what are you doing? Like, come here, spend some time with me. Let's watch TV. Let's eat dinner together. Let's just sit down and have an ice cream together, you know? Like, I know, like, things might have changed in a relationship. Like, for me and my husband, we've got a child now. We can't do everything that we used to do, like, go out straight away or, you know, without thinking, just go on a drive. But you can do stuff to help each other. I think those two things are like the main thing, but if anyone else was to maybe ask for one more thing, it would be don't keep grudges or don't remember any of the bad times you have been through. When I say that, I mean if there has been a really bad fight or my husband has said something rude to me, I would never use that against him because that is something I don't wish to do. Keeping grudges and, you know, remembering all the bad things, bad fights that we have been through, it doesn't help anyone. It just makes you suffer and overthink. And as an overthinker, I will not keep on to those things because I know for a fact it will just harm me. It won't harm anyone else. It will harm me because I will be up in my head thinking, oh, he said this the other day. Why should I talk to him? But we really need to stop thinking like that and just let go of everything. I think if we hold on to all the negatives in life and everything we've been through, we would not be here. We just really have to move on from that. That's one thing in marriage as well. When you have a fight, when you have multiple fights, which will be very picky fights, sometimes me and my husband, we don't have a proper argument. We have little picky arguments like, why did you put the keys there? Like, where's my stuff kind of thing. It's not actually full-blown arguments. It's little stupid arguments. And it's not the best, but you really just have to, like, be nice to each other. Just remember that the other person is trying their hardest as well. If you ever need something, speak to that person. You know, sit them down. What's the matter? Are you having a rough day? As I said before, conversations are hard when you both are angry, so cool down and then talk to each other. Also, one thing, before we end this topic, one thing me and my husband has never ever done is gone to sleep angry. Yeah, we never do that. I think going to sleep angry or like letting an argument go on for too long, so like hours and hours and then over to the next day, that is where issues arise and that is where you can kind of tell your relationship is going downhill because you will not talk to each other or say sorry to each other. Saying sorry is such a hard word to say sometimes, but if it helps each other move on from what argument you've just been having, then why not just say the word sorry and mean it, you know, and let each other move on from that. I think me and my husband are really good at making each other laugh after having an argument, basically. We try not to drag it on too far. If I'm angry and I'm really upset and he said something really upset or he's annoyed me, he will come to me and just keep tickling me or doing something stupid so that I know that, you know, he's not going anywhere. He will make sure I know that. And he'll make sure that he will get me in a better mood. And sometimes it takes me 5 minutes to get in a better mood. Sometimes it takes me 10 minutes. But as long as I'm getting in that better mood, that's what matters. So I think the 5-year reflection of my marriage, I don't know what I've been talking about. I've been rambling on, which I do a lot. But honestly, alhamdulillah, this 5-year, it's literally gone by so quickly. And just looking back, sometimes I look back at my pictures and I'm like, wow, did we really like go here or go there? We've literally like traveled the world together and it's just like being the most wholesome thing ever. And you know, alhamdulillah for having such an amazing partner. He is the best thing ever. I have gotten really lucky, alhamdulillah, to everything and everyone. But my husband has really supported me for everything. He always pushes me to do the best. And that's what you really want out of a life partner. You really want them to push you when you're really down. Obviously, I will have, as a mother, it's not easy. And having the right partner will really help you through that. Will help you through anything in life, to be honest. If you're going through a really tough phase at work or with your friends or like your parents or whatever, your relationship will really, really help you go through that, basically. So yeah, I really do hope you guys have got some kind of insight from my 5-year reflection of my marriage and some lessons that you guys can learn. Obviously, as I said before, I am not perfect. Our relationship is not perfect. I don't think anyone can be perfect, and I don't think any relationship or marriage or anything is perfect. It has got its flaws, and it always will have its flaws. But the main thing is you guys are happy, you guys are loving to each other, you guys are kind to each other. That is the main thing. And as long as you are both happy in the relationship and you are doing everything you can in your ability to look after each other, make the other person happy, that's what matters. It's the small things in life. Even going out of your way to like buy, you know, your husband or your wife's favorite chocolate, just to make them smile, you know, that's the best thing. You don't always need to buy expensive, extravagant gifts. We don't want that. Just meaningful, thoughtful gifts, or even like a book, or like saying something, saying, oh, you look very nice today, or you look beautiful, you look handsome, oh, I like your haircut. Making each other happy through, you know, through speech, through communication, through looking after that person, through physically being there and physically being in that moment and not being on your phone and everything. So yeah, that's what matters. I'm sorry for rambling on so much, but honestly, I'm just so passionate about like relationships and, you know, a marriage and like communication. I just love that. I think with not just marriage, with like parenthood and like with friendships and everything, communication is such a big thing in life, and a lot of us forget how to communicate or are scared to communicate or even say sorry or like thank you. Or if you're going for a tough phase or you've had a fallout with your friend, you will not make up because it's so awkward. But let's try and move past this, you know. If Allah is so merciful, then why can't we be like that? Why can't we be forgiving of other people and what they've been like doing? So let's get past this and let's try and forgive each other and love each other and look after each other, because that's what we have to do in life. So yeah, I'm gonna end this episode with one lesson from the Quran. So recently, my friend, actually, shout out to you, you know who you are, she started Quran journaling, and she has influenced me so much to start it. I've wanted to start it for ages, but I keep putting it off. Every single time I keep putting it off, and finally I've started it, and alhamdulillah, it's been the best journey ever. And it's really helped me with my Quran practice. So I take Quran lessons every Sunday, and I'm trying to memorize the like surahs and the Quran. Inshallah, it will be easy. But it's the best thing ever. Like learning the Quran properly with the pronunciation and everything has been like such a game changer for me, and it's been so amazing. So I recommend all of you, if you can, get a Quran teacher and invest in it, because that is the best thing that you could invest in your life. It is to do with your akhirah and, you know, everything to do with the afterlife. And you will get so many rewards for even thinking about making your pronunciation or, you know, the way you read Quran correctly. You will get so many rewards for that. So, yeah. I started Quran journaling, and I started, obviously, I've kind of finished Surah Fatiha. Surah Fatiha is literally one of the most beautiful surahs. And it really just is about seeking guidance from Allah and always, you know, leading to the straight path. And always, if you're struggling in life, always make dua, always acknowledge that there is someone, higher power, who is there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here, there for you. And all you have to do is make dua and remember him and ask for anything, and you will get it with the right intentions, inshallah. I really hope you all enjoyed this episode and you learned something. If not anything, I hope you enjoyed at least the reflection at the end about the surah, about making sure that we're always seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance and Allah's, you know, mercy, and we're always making dua for everything that we need, because making dua, it's so easy, but we all forget and we all get lazy with it. Me, myself speaking, I'm literally speaking about myself, and sometimes I forget, you know, that the importance of dua. And I can literally get everything if I have made the intention, if I ask Allah for, you know, the forgiveness that I need and, you know, his mercy, and we forget that. So yeah, just make sure you are at least making steps towards, you know, implementing the Quran in your life, implementing prayers in your life, you know, with the five daily prayers, with Quran, with listening to the Quran, with good manners, with your characteristics being pure and, you know, good. It will really help you in life. I think when you remember Allah, everything will go in the right direction. And I can say this firsthand because I've been through this, and there was a time in my life where I wasn't practicing and everything was going wrong, and I really asked Allah, like, why is stuff going wrong? But alhamdulillah, Allah guided me, and I'm here today, and I am at the best stage of my life, and I have so much love for the religion, and it is definitely through his guidance and the du'as I've been making. So honestly, there is so much power in du'as, and we really underestimate it. But yeah, I'll leave the episode at this point, and I really hope you all enjoyed it. You guys got some type of insight into my life, into my 5 years of marriage. But we will see each other next week on Thursday again, inshallah. And I hope you all have a lovely week, a lovely weekend, and enjoy the sunshine, even though it's too hot, but enjoy it. Take care of yourselves, and assalamu alaikum.